From Rotary Magazine, this is the Rotary Voices Podcast. I'm Linda Yu. Early this year, Rotary leaders from around the world gathered in Orlando, Florida, USA, for an annual training event called International Assembly. Together, incoming district governors learn the strategies they'll need to keep membership strong, vibrant, and growing. This gathering also serves as a platform for the president-elect, who announces their vision for their Rotary year ahead. This year, President-elect Stephanie Yurchik revealed her vision for our organization. She'll spend her year advancing the action plan to grow membership, healing a divided world through positive peace, and establishing continuity across Rotary leaders of the past, present, and future. The Rotary Voices podcast interviewed leaders at International Assembly and gathered their questions for a town hall-style interview with the president-elect. Today, I'll be sharing those questions with Stephanie, but before we jump into their questions, I have a few of my own. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining me for this town hall.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Linda.
So tell us, how did you discover Rotary?
Like most Rotarians, I was invited. A person walked into my office. I was working at a university, and she walked up to my desk and said, "Stephanie, would you like to go to a Rotary meeting?" And I looked at her and said, "What the heck is Rotary?" I really didn't know anything about it. Nobody in my family had ever been in a service organization. And she started talking about all the, you know, ways that Rotary changes the world. And when she got to the international part, I was really intrigued because in college, my major was international studies. I wanted to be a spy. So I went to a Rotary Club meeting. I went to a second meeting. And by the fourth meeting, I was writing the newsletter. And a couple of years later, I was club president, and then the rest is history. I just kept saying yes, 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 yes.
Why did you want to become Rotary president, and what makes you the right leader for the organization right now?
I never really wanted to become Rotary president. If you would have asked me 5 years ago, I would have said, heck no, I'm not interested in that job. It really was never on my radar screen. However, because I had the opportunity to work with our strategic planning process and help to get our action plan together, I began to look at where our organization was, and it's positioned in a perfect place to move into a thriving future. And because of that, I decided to throw my name in the hat, because I think leadership is about being the right leader at the right time. I felt this is the right time.
That's wonderful.
You'll be the second woman to serve as president of Rotary. Should we even be making that distinction anymore?
Well, you know, Linda, from my perspective, no. I'm not in Rotary because I'm female. I'm in Rotary because I see the organization as an opportunity for me to give back to the world. However, I do recognize that sometimes people look and want to see people that look just like them. So I'm happy when women see a female president and say to me, "Wow, that's amazing," because then I know that they may, in the back of their mind, think, if she can do it, maybe I can do that too. So from that perspective, it is important.
Tell us the story behind your driving presidential message, the magic of Rotary.
Well, you know, I think all Rotarians have a story like this, but for me, it was the opportunity that I had to be in the Dominican Republic. And we were there to install water filters in homes so that people could have clean water. So I happened to be in a Haitian home. We put the filter together, take dirty water, and put it in one end, and it would come out clean the other end. And I'll never forget the first time we stopped the water flow. A little boy was watching, and so we put the water in, and then it came out the other side, and we stopped the flow, and he grabbed my sleeve, and he said, "Lady, lady, show me that magic again." Well, clearly, it wasn't magic. It was the water filter. But the magic was the part of realizing that we were creating lasting change for that boy and his family. He could go to school instead of, you know, search for clean water, and he'd have a different life. So that was the magic of the moment. And I know Rotarians around the globe who are engaged in the work that we do in Rotary have similar stories. But that's why I chose the magic of Rotary as our annual theme.
Oh, that's great.
Stephanie, you often refer to this idea of simply irresistible. What do you mean by that?
Absolutely. You know, the word irresistible has emotion in it, and I like the phrase in general. And in the work that I did with the action plan, those are four strong priorities, but they're meant to be really a gauge for clubs to step back and assess themselves through those four priorities. And when they do that, that can help lead them to becoming simply irresistible. Clubs around the world will have different concerns and different issues. In some places, it's membership growth. In other places, it's retention. In some places, it's governance. So it really helps the club take a look at itself through that four-priority lens and determine what can we do differently to make us simply irresistible. When that happens, then things take care of themselves. People will be attracted to the club. People will want to stay in the club. And that's how we're going to get our membership growth.
I've heard you love American football and are a fan of your hometown team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. In fact, you're friends with the Steelers owner. How'd you come to meet him?
I first started watching football when I was a little girl. I'd sit on my dad's lap and he'd turn the TV on and we'd watch the games together. It wasn't until I was an adult that I actually started going to games. And I think I mentioned to you in the past that at one point I had a group of lady friends and we would get together and find a city where the Steelers were playing that we hadn't been to before. And we would make an outing. And the rules were no husbands, no children, no boyfriends, no pets. And we would go to this city, we'd buy tickets to the game, see the city and look at the sights. We did that for 10 or 12 years. Many, many years ago, one of our club members knew Art Rooney Jr. And he said, you know, I'd really like for Mr. Rooney to come and speak to our club. So when he contacted him, Mr. Rooney said, well, sure, I'd be happy to talk to your club, but you have to come to me. So our Rotary Club went to his office, and he was absolutely charming. And, you know, he has pictures all over his office of players, and it was really, really a great, great Rotary meeting. And afterwards, as a thank you, I went back and I dropped off some local chocolate. We have a very famous chocolate factory in the town I live in, and I took some to Mr. Rooney. Well, turns out he has quite the sweet tooth. So every year since then, I go and visit him as often as I can, 2, 3, 4 times a year, and I take him some chocolate.
So you must really understand the game of football, which is great for you and great for the owner of the Steelers, that you could talk football with him, right? So if you were to play for the Steelers, which position would you play?
Oh, I wouldn't play at all. I'd be coach. Yeah, I like standing on the sideline and watching the people who know what they're doing, but giving them directions. Because a coach is a lot like a symphony conductor. The coach can't play all the positions. A symphony conductor can't play all the instruments. But somebody's got to be there leading them and giving the direction so that they know what to do.
That is so Rotarian of you, wanting to help people. Now, I'm going to turn the mic over to the incoming district governors at the International Assembly in Orlando, Florida.
What is your name?
Gary Baker.
Okay. What district are you from?
6690 in Ohio. I am retired and I have been a Rotarian for 35 years. Many of us are asked to make a Rotary elevator speech. What is your elevator speech?
Rotarian Gary, that's a great question. You know, basically, I tend to say Rotary is a membership organization that does service. But then I go on to say that we do that service with our 1.4 million members across the globe. And we strive to unite and create lasting change. Sometimes we do that around the globe. Sometimes we do it in our own communities. But always that service also helps us because we get psychic income. So that change that happens in us is also important.
My name is Kevin Kendrick, and I'm the governor-elect for District 7680, which represents a 14-county area of central western North Carolina in the Piedmont region. Our district touches the Virginia state line to the north and the South Carolina line in the south. We're kind of shaped like an upside-down T, with our east-west boundaries of the T stretching from Cleveland County in the west to Richmond County in the east. I've been a Rotarian for over 15 years now, and I've served in two districts, including my current one in 7680 and District 6310 in Midland, Michigan. Although I'm now retired, I served in the FBI for 25 years before working for 11 years in the private sector for Dow Corning in Midland, Michigan, which is where I became a Rotarian, by the way. I'm a full-time Rotarian now with my wife, Jennifer, who is also a Rotarian, except when we're babysitting our four-year-old grandson. My question for President-elect Stephanie is this. Our district governor lines have a long history of collaboration with others in the chain, which has lent itself to enhanced continuity within our district. It's great to see that RI will be undertaking something similar as it relates to future presidents and presidential initiatives and themes. As we continue to experience a reluctance from members to step into club leadership roles such as president, is Rotary considering making recommendations to clubs in how we can enhance continuity at the club level, especially in these critical leadership positions?
Kevin, I think the thing that we can do best is to model the behavior that we'd like to see. You may have noticed that President Gordon, President nominee Mario, and I do spend much time together. We frequently have Zoom meetings, we appear in public together, we certainly were together at our international assembly. So I think modeling the behavior that we want to see is important. I also think it's critical for those of us who are in leadership roles to continue to mentor those who are aspiring to leadership. It's important for us to tell people that there is a way to combine leadership in Rotary with the other responsibilities that we have. Some of us have careers, some of us have families, some of us have outside activities, and there is a way to combine them. Mostly it's about prioritizing what's important and how we allocate time to get the important work of Rotary accomplished.
My name is Ijeomapel Okoro, incoming trustee from the Rotary Club of Port Harcourt, Nigeria. I am an insurance person, general insurance. This is Rotary's most strategic priority, and I know incoming President Stephanie is also very, very passionate about ending polio. So my question is, what are we going to do differently in the coming year to see if we can actually get to the finish line? I'm aware that we still have it in Pakistan and Afghanistan, but what are we going to be doing specially to get us nearer to ground zero?
First of all, Pearl, I want to thank you for everything you do to promote what we do and what we accomplish in terms of polio eradication. You know, it's very difficult for most of our Rotary countries to talk about polio, especially to non-Rotarians, because most people have not seen polio. It's been eradicated in most of our Rotary countries, but not, as you mentioned, in Afghanistan and Pakistan. So we need to encourage all Rotarians around the globe to continue this effort because of the promise we made to children in the world. One of the things that I hope we can begin to talk a little more about is the onset of post-polio syndrome. While many people have not seen polio, there are many cases where post-polio syndrome is beginning to happen. I have a personal example. In my area, my hometown, which is in western Pennsylvania in the United States, we had a very famous television broadcaster who was a polio survivor. And the first time the man addressed our local Rotary meetings, he walked up the steps onto the stage. But by the last time he spoke to us, he needed help getting up on stage. And he said, "It's because I'm beginning to develop post-polio syndrome." So we don't want children to suffer from that crippling disease, but we also don't want anyone to suffer and end up with post-polio syndrome. So our message to the world has to be that we continue this fight until it's done. As we all know, it can be transmitted. It can end up on a plane and get to different countries. We saw that happen several years ago in New York, London, and other places. So we really need to be vigilant. So again, Pearl, I appreciate everything you're doing to help get the message out that we will eradicate polio with the help of Rotarians and non-Rotarians around the world.
My name is Peter de Koning. District 1550 is the southeast of the Netherlands. I am retired now. I'm 70 years old. But before I was a major, and there before alderman in more cities. Stephanie, my motto from when I will be governor will be, let's bring more Rotary in the world, but let's also bring more world in the Rotary. And what I mean is that we should open our windows. Let a fresh wind come in Rotary, so that we can change what we all want. We want to change so we can make the decrease of members an increase of members. That's what I want. And that's my question. How do we manage that?
Peter, that is such a great comment and question. You know, one of the things that we talk about frequently now is using our Rotary Action Plan to help clubs take a look at themselves through the lens of the four priorities noted in the action plan. Rotary had the same model for over 115 years. Meet once a week, every week, four times a month, ring the bell, take attendance. Those things have changed because the world has changed, and Rotary is paying attention to that. Our Council on Legislation in 2016 opened the door for us here because we created new meeting models. We have corporate clubs and e-clubs and companion clubs and so many different kinds of club models. So the message really to the world is, if you have an interest in service, you need to take a look at Rotary because there's a place for you in our organization. I think that's how we will get that message to the world, Peter, that we are different and we continue to respond to the way the world is changing. Thanks so much for that question.
Niranjan Devdhar, 9685 in Australia, Zone 8. We are and would like to remain completely apolitical, and yet geopolitical tensions are on the rise in the world. So how do we make sure we address matters of relevance which have become politicized, and yet we ourselves remain apolitical?
I think the best way to do that is to remember our humanitarian roots as an organization. Doing good in the world is in our DNA. And we are a humanitarian organization. Every bit of service that we do is about creating lasting change in the world. When we keep our focus on the humanitarianism, then that will keep us in our lane, so to speak. So I appreciate your question, and I realize how difficult that can be sometimes, but stay true to who we are as a humanitarian organization, and that will keep us true.
Hello, I'm Sherry Sim from Rotary District 5240 and at Central Coast, California. I'm a real estate broker in Cayucas, California. Stephanie, I'd love to know, what is the tiniest thing, or could be an issue, could be an activity, or a Rotarian whom you have met that really gets on your nerves?
Oh, Sherry, well, you know, truthfully, it's hard to get on my nerves. However, I will tell you that every so often I will hear from Rotarians, and it's not that they get on my nerves, the question that they ask me. It's that I wonder, why are they asking it? Sometimes people will say, what can Rotary do for us? Or when is Rotary going to do such and such? And I look at them puzzled because we are Rotary. Your Rotary Club and you as a member of a Rotary Club is where the magic of Rotary happens. So we really need to refocus and understand that we have the power. Every Rotary Club around the world, all of them, have the ability to create lasting change. And so that's where the action happens. That's where the magic starts.
My name is Sergio Tejeda. In Rotary, my name is Mouse, District 4110, Mexico. Since 2002, I've been a Rotarian and a member of this family. Stephanie, how are you going to be able to help us get more women into leadership roles in our districts?
Sergio, you know that Rotary has a very strong commitment to diversity. And as part of that commitment, certainly we want to look at underrepresented groups in our organization and extend our hand and extend our invitation to those groups to join us. One of the best ways to do that is to reach out to those underrepresented groups. Very often I talk to clubs who will say, well, we tried. A woman banker came into our community, so we invited her, but she only stayed a week. And when I further questioned them, I found out that the club was 100 men. And one woman came into the club, and then they wondered why she wouldn't stay. Generally, people want to see other people who look like them. So my advice would be to bring in groups of women or groups of young professionals or groups of other minorities into your club at the same time so that they see other people who look like them. That would be, from my opinion, the best way that we can attract our underrepresented groups.
My name is Sandra Perdomo. I'm from Colombia, District 42A1. My profession is real estate. I'm starting Interact. I'm Rotarac and now Rotarian. And my question is, I'm involved in Youth Exchange Program, and what is the vision she has about that?
Sandra, that's a great question. You know, I have talked frequently about what's important for us to look at in Rotary Year 24-25. And one of those things is our commitment to peace building. Peace building is very important, and our Rotary Youth Exchange Program is a program that helps to spread peace. Each time a student goes out, they represent the country from which they came. They interact with their host family, members of the family, other students in the school that they attend, Rotarians in that community. So they are spreading peace one student at a time. Our Rotary Youth Exchange Program is a very important way for us to continue to build peace and be known as an organization that is about world understanding and peace. Thank you very much for that question.
Elias Ragby from Venezuela, District 4370. Stephanie, what role should Roto actors play in the future of our organization now that they are members like us? I was a Roto actor. I met my wife in Rotaract, and I am very interested in youth and Rotaract.
Elias, we have elevated Rotaract. You're absolutely correct. They are now a membership category in Rotary. What I'm hoping is that Rotarian members will understand the importance that Rotaract members bring to our organization. Rotaractors have to understand the Rotarian members as well. You know, I'm a firm believer in the concept of reverse mentoring. So while Rotarians can mentor Rotaractors, I think Rotaractors can also mentor Rotarians. We can learn from each other. Each time I interact with a Rotaract group, I know that I know much about Rotary. I have depth in Rotary because I've been a member so long, but I also know that they can teach me. I'm not a digital native, but Rotaractors can help me with technology. When they talk about artificial intelligence, when they talk about technology, I can learn so much. So my hope is that Rotaractors and Rotarians can get closer together and understand the benefit that each of them bring to the process of creating change around the world.
My name is Amelia Stanzel. I have the great pleasure of being District 7610. We're part of the United States just outside of Washington, D.C. in a state called Virginia. My profession is commercial banking. I've been a Rotarian for almost 18 years. How do we use our action groups and our cause-based clubs to be able to help grow the impact of Rotary?
Amelia, the answer to that is similar to the answer to a lot of questions about Rotary, and that is we need to tell our story. Nobody will know that we have irresistible clubs. Nobody will know that we're eradicating polio. Nobody will know that we create lasting change in the world unless we tell our stories. So I think we have action groups that are focused on each of our areas of service, our action groups are a great place to tell a story, to share with the world what's happening in Rotary. So we need to become humble braggarts, if you will. In today's world, we really need to share what it is that Rotary is doing and how we create the magic that happens around the world and how we create lasting change for individuals, for families, for communities. So let us become better storytellers.
My name's Michael LaPina, District 9800. 9800 is from Melbourne. It's in Melbourne in Victoria, Australia, which pretty much goes from the southmost point is Brighton, goes all the way to the border, which is Echukamoama. And then the western border is Bacchus Marsh, and then it goes all the way out to Glen Ferry. I am professionally a teacher, music teacher, singing teacher. So I teach singing. That is my current profession. Sang for pretty much all the opera companies in Australia as a principal tenor and toured around the world. So along with Walt Disney, I was touring around Asia, New Zealand, all over Australia. I've been in Rotary since 2005. Since 2018, when I first met Stephanie, we've been great mates. I mean, I'm extremely proud to know Stephanie. I have a lot of love for her. So she's a really close family friend, not only for myself, but for my children and my wife. So for me, the only question I really, really have for her is probably, I know she's going to be successful in whatever she puts her mind to with Rotary. What is she going to do after her term for herself?
Wow, Michael, that was quite an introduction, quite a question. You know, Michael and I met 5 or 6 years ago at a multi-district conference in Melbourne, Australia. At the beginning of the conference, I stood in the auditorium and was introduced. And then Michael came out and in his beautiful, amazing voice, sang our United States national anthem. I was the only American in the whole facility. I burst into tears. His voice was so amazing, I just couldn't hold back the tears. It was incredible. And from that moment, he and I became wonderful friends. And of course, as he mentioned, his family and I as well have become friends. So Michael's question, you know, what am I going to do for myself after my term ends? I probably am not going to do anything very much different from what I'm doing now. I enjoy doing Rotary. I may not have the hectic schedule that I have currently, but I can see myself still visiting Rotarians around the world and seeing the magic of Rotary at work.
That concludes our town hall questions from the incoming district governors. Thank you to everyone who participated. Stephanie, do you have anything else to add before we close out?
There's an important message that I'd like to share with everyone who's listening. I think that if you have the heart and hands for service, you really ought to consider Rotary as a way for you to contribute. If you do have the heart and hands for service, there's a place for you in Rotary. I want to thank all of you leaders who are able to produce these wonderful questions. They really were intriguing, and I thank you very much.
Thank you again for joining us, Stephanie. I can't wait to see what your Rotary year brings.
Well, thank you, Linda. I really appreciated and enjoyed this time, and I look forward to seeing you again.
This episode of Rotary Voices Podcast was produced by Jacqueline Cantu and J.P. Swenson, edited by Wen Huang, with production by Yoo-Soo Kim. If you enjoyed the show, please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and share it with your friends. The Rotary Voices Podcast is produced by Rotary Magazine, the official monthly publication of Rotary International. I'm Linda Yu. Thanks for listening.